Let me start the other one here too. I've got to hit the record here. We are recording, so let me put the, go ahead, Chair, you can start your meeting now. I've got it.
Okay, hey, I appreciate everybody getting on, even though we're starting 15 minutes late. I hate to be late. So let's roll through this thing as quickly as possible. I just want to welcome you all here. I apologize that this is this week, and we will work on that we don't have this happen again. We need this in the first part of December, not the end of December. And we need to meet in person rather than Zoom. So having said that, Allison, could I call on you to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes.
Here's how the flag is right there by you.
Okay. Pledge allegiance to the flag.
To the flag.
For the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Allison. I appreciate that. Now we're gonna rush right in to our audit report from.
Steve Quinn.
I'll just go ahead and do it. I hope everybody's got their draft copy that we sent.
No, I didn't. We got it last night from you, Steve. I didn't have time to send it out, so you're okay. They're seeing it for the first time right now. So
right. It is a draft because it hasn't been reviewed yet. In the table of contents, I didn't even look at that. So maybe a page is off or something like that. Anyway, if you go right to page one, though, that's the independent auditor's report. And with that, this will be. Even after the review, it will be the same. And in our opinion, it says in the second paragraph there that the financial statements present fairly in all material respects the respective financial position of this association as of your ending June 30th, 2022. That is a good report. So that's good. Now, if you jump also now to the financial statements themselves on page 10, and like I said, I'm going through this very quickly. If anybody has any questions, please stop me.
Okay, I'll go ahead.
Okay, the first one on page 10 is what's called the statement of a deposition. This is the new, it's done as a government-wide type thing, done on business-type accounting. And so that's referred to there. It is missing. I happen to notice today there's something new that needs to be on here that I missed getting on here. So that will be on the final report. And it's not anything that affects significantly. It's the new thing with the leases. Allison worked hard to get that to me yesterday, and I failed to get it on here. But anyway, all it will do will have an asset and a liability that'll be the same amount. So nothing else will be affected. The next page is the statement of activities. It shows all that the association has been working with so far this year, and you can see there have been over $10 million of expenses and revenues. So they've been very busy this year. The next page actually is the balance sheet. Now, this is done in governmental accounting. This is what we're used to in governmental. As you can see, there's, the It's just very basic, and there's a significant amount of receivable, which has caused a deficit in cash there, but you know, that's because of outstanding checks. I'm sure that a lot of the receivables were received shortly after the year end as well. So anyway, and then the next page, page 13, this shows a reconciliation of the difference between this one and that first report that I showed you, the first balance sheet, the statement of net position. And you can see that the biggest difference is the capital assets are on there, and then some liabilities, and then the pension-related things as well. Those are the big differences there. The next page is what governments are usually most to look at, and two is the combined statement of revenues and expenditures. That shows your where the revenue came from. You got over $9.5 million state federal contracts this year. And the expenditures, most of it is payroll, but there's also a lot of consultant and contract services as well, and several other things there. And then the page after that is the reconciliation of that and the statement of activities back on page 11 that we looked at before. And this shows the difference there, and you can see that there's just a few little things that are different on that. Most of the stuff is what's related to the pensions. The next pages are related to the non-expendable trusts and the agency funds fund. Most of the non-expendable trust is the RLN loans that are given to businesses. That used to be a federal program. It is no longer that, but it's still handled basically the same way. So other than we don't have to do the federal reporting on it as well as the financial reporting. But anyway, this shows basically the balance sheet for that.
We'll be changing that. And I get through and do it. Accounting for what part it was federal and what part is ours.
Significant amount of cash.
That other money.
A lot of notes out there.
Discretionary fund.
The next shows just shows the interest that was paid during the year and the cost, not too much there. And the cash flows related to that as well. There's principal repayments from customers, $161,000 new loans made to customers, $167,000. So that's basically the loans to the government. After that is starting the footnotes. The footnotes is on page 19, and the first one just basically talks about significant accounting policies and things like that. There's nothing new there. And so we can jump to, the footnote or note two, starts on page 23, but on page 24, at the top of the page, which is, the end of that. It shows that at the end of the year, there was bank balances of $1.5 million, and the $467,000 of the carrying amount. So that's the difference between that.
Hey, Steve.
Yes.
I just wanted to make a mention on note two. We have that excess money into a sweep account that is separated into other banks. So there is no uninsured and uncollateralized money.
Okay. That's probably something you should give me that and relate to that.
Yeah. That's the information. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that's good. If you go down to, note from five mentioned again, you have almost $2 million in receivables from the federal and state monies at the end of the year. I'm sure much of that was received not long after as well. And then note 6 talks about a little bit about that revolving loan program. Like I said, it was started with federal money, but it is now not even considered federal money anymore. So number note 7 is the capital assets. The only difference is they had some retirements in the vehicles and then the depreciation during the year. Let's see. Note 10 is a detailed footnote on the retirement pension plan. That is actually provided to us by the Utah State Retirement. It is something that you might find interesting to look at on your own, but I don't think we'll spend any time here on that. The next page to be good to look at would be page 36. It's the budget to actual comparison. And the combined budget that I received did not have some of the detail. So I've put it in areas, but it doesn't necessarily combine. Be work for a line item, which is okay, because the association is only required to be if they were over budget in total expenditures, that would be a problem. But they don't have to do anything less than that than the generalized area. It's okay, you know. It's just not as much detail for people may want to look at, but anyway, so you can see overall it is under budget. I mean, it's a favorable under budget thing there, so there was no problems with going over budget for the association. The next two pages are related to the pension again, and they are required to have this information in there. I think the requirement has come from there was a lot of governments that have basically gone bankrupt because of the way their pensions handled. But the pension that is in Utah has always been in really good shape, so there's no problems there. The next area is starting on page 40. It breaks down the governmental funds that we looked at before, that the totals there. It breaks it down by program. And if you have an interest in any of the individual programs, goes up from program one, which is basically administration and
Steve? We'll be sending this out, the draft out, to the board members, and then when you get the final, we'll send that out as well. But I think this is getting into the sausage making, into the weeds, so I don't think we probably don't need to go into each of these individual programs.
No, I wasn't going to, but okay. Yeah, that's good. So, but anyway, I was just kind of explaining in general that there's a here on page 40 is the like you said, is the programs for the balance sheets, and then they have the trust funds and stuff, the balance sheets, and then on page 48 is the income statement, basically, of each one of those programs. That's all there. So next would be the area in single audit compliance section. The first area on page 58 is what's for government auditing standards, and we're required to look at some of the internal control, or to look in different areas and stuff. But since we don't do the whole area, you know, we can't give a complete opinion on it. But everything that we looked at, nothing came to our attention that had any deficiencies at all in the internal control. Same with compliance. The results of our test disclosed no instance of non-compliance in matters related to to government auditing standards. The next report is on page 59. This is related to the federal programs only. And we have to pick some major programs to emphasize our testing in those areas. And anyway, I'll talk about those programs in a minute, but the opinion on the each major program is that in all material respects with the types of compliance requirements that the program has that could have a direct and material effect on each of the major programs, that everything was good in that area. And the internal controls, the same type of thing we did in the other report. Nothing came to our attention in testing those major programs in connection with our internal control either. The next report is what's called the Schedule of Expenditures of Federal Awards, or the CEFA. This lists every program in there. Some of them are combined into what's called a cluster. And you can see that there's a little X on the right-hand side on that first page. That is the total, that is the aging cluster. The aging cluster had $1.3 million. That was one of our major programs, and everything turned out well there. The other major program is on the next page. It's the services to Indian children, elderly, and families cluster. Well, the Five County doesn't have anything related to the Native Americans in this case, but they do a lot with the elderly and families, and then they had almost $1.3 million there as well, and that was required for one of our major programs. And anyway, and that's what that one report was talking about. Is nothing came to our attention, and all of our testing, just everything looked good. If you jump now to page 65. It does list all of the things that were areas that we looked at and everything, and again, everything is okay. Nothing has came to our attention on that. It shows that the major programs are the aging cluster and the Indian children, elderly, and families, and the areas and the monies that were spent there. The next page, you know, just shows that there was no findings reported. And the next page after that is findings and question cards there. There was nothing there either. And there was no status of, remaining status of prior year findings either. So anyway, those are all of those reports. The last report on page 69 is the state compliance. Where we're required to look at all things. I didn't change the requirements that was required to be tested in this report yet because there's still a draft. I didn't take account, but I did look and there was no findings in the new area. I lost my memory of exactly.
Are you talking about the leases?
With those areas that we were required to test this year. But,
Steve, are you talking about the leases?
No. Oh. This is the state compliance.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. We went through those. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And we required a test. And we didn't do those. I just didn't change these because it was just a draft and it's just in a hurry to get it out.
Yes. Okay.
But anyway, I did read the results and Kevin Jones from our office did the testing and nothing came to his attention and I looked over his work papers and they looked good. So, is there any questions?
No.
Sorry, I went through so fast that, like I said, you'll get more detail and if you look on the pages that are those reports. It has the letterhead, our letterhead on it. It has my phone number. If you have any questions, don't hesitate. Give me calls.
Appreciate that, Steve. I'm a little concerned, though, that here we are, the end of the month, we're on the 29th, and all the papers show draft. We need to do something about this for the future, because to accept this at this late minute kind of puts the rush on board members and stuff. We don't even actually have the report in our hand or had a chance to even look at it other than your review, Steve. And I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming the people that need to get us the information so that you can do a complete audit. Because we want to make sure we're doing things right and we're in compliance. So having said that, do we have any other discussion on this?
When are you going to try to do the final, approve the final version?
It should be before the end. Either today or tomorrow it will be reviewed. That's all before now.
So do you have to have another vote? Yeah, we can't approve the draft, and then can that be considered? I mean, without seeing the final version?
What the agenda says is acceptance of audit report.
Yeah, you have to approve. Yeah, you just have to accept it.
So how does that, are we in compliance or are we not?
We wouldn't be without the final draft, right? Somebody's got to approve that.
Steve, you're the auditor. What is the requirement for this being, does the state code require it to be presented to the board, or does it need to be approved by the board? That being the case, how do we get it approved by the end of the year? We're at the end of the year.
Yeah, it does not have to be approved. It just has to be accepted. And the draft, they don't necessarily have to do that right now either, or they can accept it and possible exception that when they receive the final, that they might have a problem with it. So in other words, like nothing can completely happen until they receive the final.
We could do that at the January meeting, but accept the draft, but with the caveat that the final will be presented to the board in advance of the January meeting. I mean,
it doesn't even have to be presented to them, as long as they just receive it. In other words, you can just email it to them.
Commissioner Taylor, if you don't mind, I'd like to make a motion that we accept the audit as presented, and then with the final draft given to us in January.
Okay, I have a motion to accept the audit report. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Do we need to do a roll call vote, or are we good? Just all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay, that passed unanimously.
I will say, though, I will echo what Fisher Taylor said. I think this process needs to be much quicker and much sooner in the year. Let's not push ourselves like this next time.
Well, it'll be up to us. I'm chair for one more month, so we will talk about that in our next meeting.
Perfect.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner. Who seconded it?
It was seconded by Commissioner Gant.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And Steve, thanks. I know you was under the gun to get this, and we appreciate that. And we'll do our best to get you the information quicker so that you don't have to do this.
Appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're going to move on. We have an area-wide clearinghouse review. Gary, that's you.
I'll spend 20 seconds on here. I send out the information on there. This is on a land sale in Kane County of 150 acres north of Kanab. It's currently leased by Best Friends. The sale would be subject to the lease, which expires in 2054. And this will be a negotiated sale unless there's some competitors. I contacted Kane County. They said that they do not have any concerns over this cell, and based upon the response from Kane County, staff recommends steering committee vote to support the sitless sale of this property.
Sitless selling it to who?
It is not known at this point.
Best friend. Okay.
It's not known, best friends. That's awesome.
All right. It's a third. They own two. If you want to take time on it, they own two-thirds of the section now, and they lease the center third.
Oh,
so they're going to buy that center third. Best friend should be buying property, but this one's...
Well, it takes up your tax rolls, doesn't it? Or whatever.
It does.
Okay.
But,
okay.
What do you do?
Okay.
So I'll make a motion.
We don't have any say in it. You know, the board's going to do it either way.
Okay. I had a motion from someone.
Mr. Hollingshead, make a motion to support the sale of that city land. Got it.
Okay. Motion to a second.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Who was the second?
I know that we're in the process of a vote. I just want to know, what is it that they're doing with the land? I had read through and saw where it's at, but I don't know what they were doing with it.
Okay. We are in the middle, Mayor, we are in the middle of a vote.
Yes.
Who seconded the motion?
Bills gave a second.
Okay.
All right. Is there any other discussion before we vote? Mayor, you brought up that...
I just wanted to know what they're doing with the property. What's the project for? Just seemed to say that. It's just that they were selling the property, and that it was going to show where it's at right now.
We're backing out. Thank you.
This is one thing...
It has an RV park on it. On that lease section, most of the rest of that piece is the red cliff that goes straight up the hill. It's undevelopable other than the RV park.
Okay.
It's already there.
You don't have a problem with it?
No. It's already in use. It's not changing uses.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Thank you. Last on our meeting is steering committee annual meeting schedule. Let me tell you what we're thinking, and you guys tell me how you feel. We would like, several of us would like to move our meeting schedule to one local place that we meet at every month, which we believe would be Cedar City at the, is it Festival Hall? Heritage Center. Festival Hall. Richard, did you find out, can we meet there monthly?
Yes.
And hold all our meetings there without a cost?
I did check on that. I was going to and I forgot. But I think we'll be fine because the county owns part of that building, and generally for county business, we don't get charged. So okay. I think we'll be okay. Let me double check on that.
All right, discussion on this, and maybe we don't make a decision today, but I would like to discuss it, how you feel about it, and be open and honest. If you like going to all the different communities, or would you like to meet at a central location?
I will voice, for me, I think a central location in Cedar City on a set date, which has generally been the second Wednesday of the month, is much easier to manage. I think sometimes we get confused where we're going, what we're doing, what meeting we're going to be at. The public health, mental health boards have already agreed to do that, so they're on board with that. So in my opinion, I think that would be a wonderful thing to do, just to meet at Cedar every month, second Wednesday, done deal.
Yep. I'm not wrong, but I would agree. It's been kind of chaotic to keep up with what and where.
Okay.
Sounds great.
They also have very good facilities, so if somebody needs to join online at any of our meetings, they have the capability of doing that, and having a fixed location makes it easy to do that. Sometimes when we go out to remote locations, we don't know whether we're going to have internet or a way to put it up on a screen or anything, so It's fine for us as staff. It makes it easier for us to support you at the meetings if you have to join electronically.
Well, and as commissioners go, we have to jump from place to place to place. Drive. We'd like, you know, behavioral health, public health, steering committee, all at one. I believe all at one location.
Yeah.
We're at tap time, maybe to grab some lunch right there, have lunch brought in, whatever. So, more discussion.
We're happy to all.
Yep, happy to drive there.
Okay. Somebody want to make a motion, or you want to table it for a month?
I make the motion that we have a set schedule meeting on that second Wednesday, whenever that is, in Cedar City at the Heritage Center or Festival Hall. What is it? Festival Hall.
Festival Hall. I don't think you really need a motion. It's just a consensus of our board.
That's my consensus.
I'm good with that.
Okay. Say nay or forever hold your peace.
I'm okay with it.
Okay. All right. Let's do that then. Is there any local affairs discussion that we need to take care of?
I always put that on in case you have something you needed to discuss, but I want to wish everyone a Happy New Year.
I agree. I have one other thing that I need to take care of.
All right. Yeah, Commissioner.
Is Dale Brinkerhoff on the call?
No.
No, he's not.
Oh, good. I can talk about him. I want to talk about him and Andy Gant. They're both probably at their last five-county meeting, and I want to thank them for their service, for what they've done for not only Fife County, but for their county and my county. They've just gone above and beyond, and I love and appreciate these guys more than you'll ever know. Andy, I'm getting a little choked up. I'm sorry, but both you guys are dear to my heart, and you guys have done tremendous things for all of us, and we just really appreciate you. We'd love to invite you back, buy you lunch, do whatever, because we so appreciate you, and I appreciate, I'm going to call him Commissioner Brinkerhoff, because he will forever be commissioner in my heart, and the same with Andy. So, anybody else want to chime in, or?
Well, I'll just echo those sentiments, too. I agree with that. You know, I don't know Dale real well, but I've heard a lot of good things about Dale, and I appreciate his service, but Andy has been super kind to me, and very helpful, so I appreciate Andy Gant too and his service. So I echo the same thing. Thank you, guys.
It's a blessing to get to know all you guys. Maybe I'll show up at one of these and have lunch with you, because I really didn't get a last meeting to say hi, shake everybody's hand, so I might do that next year.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I want to thank Commissioner Gant also for coming out to the CIB meeting back in November and sitting with us as the Fife County staff presented an application to remodel this building and make it secure and make it better to serve the public with restroom facilities for the public and to give us more storage and give us the ability to expand our services, especially for the aging programs, which are continuing to grow in this region. And I just wanted to thank him for that support we had out there, and also for Commissioner Taylor for his support serving on that CIB board. It's very important for us, and thank you so much.
Glad to do it.
Anything else from anybody? Then, as chair, I'm going to call this meeting adjourned, and thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
And have a Happy New Year and stay sober.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
I love it.
Stay